Good Monday. Today is December the 23rd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, a continuing resolution was passed in the 11th hour, literally almost the 12th hour in some cases, on Friday night. We'll talk about that, as well as what fertilizer prices are doing, and looking back at labor strikes over the past year. All that coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, the House and Senate have voted to pass a bill that avoids a looming government shutdown. Now, this happened late Friday, going into the early morning hours of Saturday. The bill, which includes short-term spending, a disaster aid, and a farm bill extension. Now, the House and Senate have voted to pass a bill that avoids that looming government shutdown. The Farm Bureau thanks the House and Senate for finding common ground and passing legislation that will keep the government open and help farmers who are struggling with natural disaster, that from Zippy to Ball, American Farm Bureau Federation president. If there was ever a prime example of the impact of Farm Bureau on the nation's capital, this is it. That according to Bill Patterson, president of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. As this went into the wee hours, the final measure did not include authorization for year-round E15 sales, which was something that the Ohio corn growers, as well as the ethanol industry, was asking for. That would benefit farmers and lead to lower fuel prices and help America reach its sustainability goals. Also something that would not have any pay-fors needed because it doesn't cost Congress anything and would save taxpayers money. Now, on a positive note, it did include that extension to the farm bill and also disaster aid. We'll have to wait on the details from USDA to see how that disaster aid will be distributed. Fertilizer news also making headlines. It says potash, urea, UAN-28, and UAN-32 prices are down slightly from the second week of December. While average retail fertilizer prices for four of the eight major fertilizers tracked by DTN were lower, and prices for the other four were slightly higher during the second week of December. Now, as has been the case in recent weeks, no fertilizer price saw a significant move one way or the other. The four fertilizers that were slightly higher in price were DAP with an average price of $740 a ton. MAP came in at $816 a ton, while 1034-0 was $611 a ton, and anhydrous ammonia was at $721 a ton. Again, those are the national average prices. The four fertilizers slightly less expensive than a month ago were potash with an average price of $443 a ton, urea at $495 a ton, UAN-28 was $323 a ton, while UAN-32 was $362 a ton. You break that down to a price per pound unit nitrogen basis, and the average urea price was 54 cents a pound unit nitrogen. Anhydrous came in at 44 cents, UAN-28 was at 58 cents, and UAN-32 was at 57 cents per pound unit nitrogen. Now, two fertilizers are higher priced than they were one year ago. 1034-0 is 3% higher, while DAP is 4% more expensive, but the remaining six fertilizers are lower than a year ago. MAP is down 1%, UAN-28 is 5% less expensive than it was a year ago, urea is 8% lower, while UAN-32 is 11% less expensive, potash is 14% lower, and anhydrous ammonia 15% less expensive compared to last year. Taking a look at the larger fertilizer industry, Brazil Potash Corp. announced on December 17th the appointment of Mayo Schmidt as the executive chairman of its board of directors. That according to the Dow Jones News Service, the appointment will be effective January 6th of next year. Now, Schmidt is the former chairman and CEO of Nutrien. Stan Barty, who served as the executive chairman, will step down as director of the company and will assume the role of chairman of the company's advisory board. Now, the appointment follows Brazil Potash's initial public offering and listing on the New York Stock Exchange in America. It also coincides with the company's advancement towards the construction of its Altais Potash project. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at CropCoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Looking back over the past year, one of the biggest news stories was probably the labor unrest, the most labor unrest in decades on both sides of the United States and Canada border, at ports and on railways, leading to an impact on agriculture and on trade. Now, the first hint of labor issues this year was in late February when the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference gave a notice of dispute when a contract negotiation of 9,300 union members with the Canadian National Railway and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railway broke down. This dispute filing opened the door to a possible strike in May. Follow all the hurdles, on August 22nd, the railway locked out the union workers, and it wasn't until a tumultuous week of rail worker stoppage between the different railways on August 24th, they were forced by a binding arbitration on all parties that brought the union workers to return back to work. Well, here in the United States, the International Longshoremen Association and the United States Maritime Alliance reported on September 15th that they would not reach an agreement on their current contract that expired at the end of that month, opening the door for a strike at the East Coast and Gulf ports. Now, they went on strike, and the strike affected soybean, soybean meal, and other agricultural products that are exported via containers. Approximately 5-6% of total soybean exports would be affected by that strike on the East and Gulf Coast. It also would have a significant impact on chilled frozen meat, eggs, and other things that are exported from the United States. Now, on the evening of October 3rd, the strike came to an end. Now, meanwhile, in Canada, Grain Workers Local Union 333 went on strike on September 24th, stopping work at 5 grain terminals in Vancouver. And at the time, Grain Growers Canada said that the grain farmers in the prairies rely heavily on that port of Vancouver to handle and export the majority of the grain that they grow. In fact, last year, terminal elevators at the port of Vancouver received roughly 52% of all grain products produced across Canada, underscoring the critical role that these terminals play in the agricultural supply chain. And following last month's rail worker stoppage, the strike had an equally devastating impact on grain farmers across the Canadian prairies who were in the midst of their harvest. Now, after the four-day strike, another one began on September 4th at the Port of Montreal. On November 4th, they started an industry-wide strike at the British Columbian Maritime Employees Association. And then on November 12th, they were ordered to end the strike stoppage in British Columbia and Quebec ports, imposing final and binding arbitration on the parties. And then operations began to resume on November 14th. So 2024 saw a lot of challenges with shipping in the United States and Canada. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.